Well, here you are, ready to graduate from high school. This is a major milestone in your life. You're probably thinking seriously about what direction you want your life to take, what life's going to hold for you, where you're going to be a few years from now, and what you're going to be able to accomplish. One of the things that you hear a lot about this time in your life is the subject of success. Seems like commencement speakers invariably pick it as the subject of their address. Career counselors are trying to guide you into a vocation where you will be successful, a vocation that's consistent with your abilities and your interests. Your parents want you to be a success. It's a reflection on them if you're not. And I would presume most of you want to be successful too. Nobody wants to be a loser. So I want to get into the act as well tonight and talk to you about success God's style, because it's spoken about in the scripture. The word is used in the Bible. I want you to meet a man in the scripture tonight who was successful. And I would like you to discover why he was successful, because the same thing that made him successful can make you successful and can make me successful. In fact, the principle goes for all of us, not just those who are graduating from high school in the next week. This man was basically a military man. And humanly speaking, he faced an impossible task: leading a mob of poorly equipped, poorly trained, nomadic wanderers against a group of skilled fighters who lived in fortified cities and had superior weapons. How in the world was he going to do it? I mean, it seemed impossible. And yet he succeeded in three brilliant military campaigns. And of course, this was thousands of years ago when we didn't have modern weapons. It took time to accomplish the conquest of a land. But in three brilliant military campaigns, covering a period of about 7 years, he defeated 30 successive enemy armies and conquered an entire land with this mob of poorly trained, poorly equipped nomads. It was incredible. I mean, humanly speaking, it was impossible. And then he devoted the rest of his life to dividing that land among his people and providing dynamic leadership and godly leadership for them in those years. He died at the ripe old age of 110, highly regarded by his people and by people from his day to this. By anybody's standard, Joshua would be rated a success. Now, what was the key to his success? Well, for one thing, God promised him he would be successful. That always helps, you know. When you get a promise from God, you can pretty well count on him keeping that promise. Now, I want you to look at it. It's in Joshua 1, verse 5. God's speaking to Joshua now. And he says, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Good promise. God makes it to you too. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." God promised them they would have that land. And now he promises Joshua he will accomplish it. That is, he will be the leader who brings these people to accomplish it. But there was a condition attached to the promise. It wasn't just a blanket promise. Joshua had to do something. You want to see what it is? Let's keep reading. Verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Now there are the conditions right there in verse 8. Joshua's success was tied to a book. That's what God said to him. He calls it in verse 8 the book of the law. In verse 7 he called it all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. It was the word of God. All of the word of God that they had to that point. God had not revealed all of his word as yet. But all that they had was the key to their success. It was God's word that would bring success. It would depend on the way they responded to God's word. Now we have the word of God too. We have the completed revelation of God in the Bible. Not just the Old Testament, not just the first five books, which Joshua had, but the entire canon of Scripture, 66 books, the New Testament, as well as the Old, the New Testament, which is more directly addressed to believers in this age, to Christians. And this same promise, by the way, the same promise in Joshua 1:8 is repeated in the New Testament for Christians in this age. It's in the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 25. James says something to the effect that whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and that's a title for the Bible, the Word of God, and continues therein, he keeps looking, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, in other words, a doer of what it says, this person shall be blessed in what he does. Same promise. God's blessing, God's success upon people who will properly handle and respond to His Word. Now this is exciting to me because we've just given you new Bibles. And you're holding them in your hand, I trust. And what that says in Joshua 1:8 and James 1:25 and other passages of Scripture as well, what it says basically is what you hold in your hand right now is the key to your success. You've got it right there in your hand. It promises you success. If you will handle it properly and do what it tells you to do with it. That's what it says right there in Joshua 1:8. Not just to Joshua, but by application to us. And we know it's by application to us since it's repeated in other passages of Scripture. Just like Joshua, your success in life is going to depend on the way you respond to God's Word. Now let's look at that promise in verse 8 again and see how you're to respond. First of all, look at the promise. It says, then you will, it's at the end of the verse, see it? Verse 8, then you will make your way prosperous. That means basically to succeed. That's what the word means, to succeed. And then you will have success. That's a synonym. That means to succeed too, obviously. It says it, success. But that second word, you will have success, implies more than that. It has the idea of acting wisely, of being able to think through a complex issue and do the right thing and know that it's going to turn out right. That's what the word means. When God promises you success, He promises you that you can know what to do and that it will turn out right. That's basically what success is. It isn't necessarily making a lot of money. It isn't necessarily climbing to the top of the corporation ladder. It isn't necessarily being powerful or being famous. By God's way of thinking, being successful means knowing the right thing to do and knowing that it's going to turn out right. More than that, it's knowing what God wants you to do and knowing that it's going to turn out the way God wants it to turn out. I mean, what more can you ask in life? That is success. Knowing what God wants you to do and knowing that it will turn out as God wants it to. Because that's the life that's going to bring rich joy and complete fulfillment and lasting satisfaction. That's success. And God tells Joshua how to have it. You want it? Would you like to have that kind of a life? Well, I'd like to have it. I want it. That's the goal of my life. To be able to come to the end and look back and say, I knew what to do and I did it. And it turned out the way God wanted it to turn out. That's what I want for my life. And I hope you want that too. Let's see how to get it. What are the conditions? Here it is. There are three of them in verse 8. I want you to look at them very carefully. Start at the beginning of the verse and see the three conditions for success as God views it. Number one, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Condition number one. They say, hold it. That almost sounds like you're not supposed to talk about the Bible. Don't let it depart from your mouth. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means just the opposite of that, actually. It means you're not supposed to stop talking about it. When something's in your mouth, that is, words are in your mouth, it means you're talking about it. You're speaking those words. Now, God says, don't stop talking about my word. That's what He says. Don't stop talking about it. Talk about it all the time. Let the word of God be continually in your mouth, in other words. Condition number one is talk about God's word. Right there. That's what it says. You want success? God says, talk about his word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Just talk about the word continually. Talk about the things you're learning from the Bible. Now that assumes that you're learning something, that you're reading it, that you're studying it, that you're listening to others teach it, that you're relating it to all of life, that you're building the concepts of God's word into your life. You won't be able to talk about it unless you're doing those things. So please don't take that Bible home that we bought for you and stick it on a shelf and leave it there. You got to get into it. You've got to read it. You got to tuck it away in your heart and start building it into your life. Then you can talk about it. It's the only way you'll be able to talk about it is by knowing. You know, it's easy to discover what people feed into their minds. What they spend their time watching, reading, listening to, thinking about. All you have to do is talk to them 5 or 10 minutes, and you know pretty much what they spend their time on. What they're feeding into their minds. It's a dead giveaway. We talk about what we dwell on in our minds. What we spend our time on. And from what I hear, most of the time it seems to be things like sports, or weather, or girls, if it's guys you're talking to, or guys, if it's girls you're talking to, or politics, or the stock market, or movies, or songs, or they seem to be the thing that most people are talking about, because that's what they talk about. I don't hear a lot of people talking about God's word. I have to tell you that. It's disappointing, but it's true. I don't hear a lot of folks talking about the scriptures. And you know, that may be one of the reasons we're seeing so much lack of success in our day. So many marriages crumbling. So many children getting their lives all messed up. So many other lives getting hopelessly tangled. God says success comes from talking about his word. That's what he says. And we're not doing it, folks. And it may be one of the reasons why we're seeing so much lack of it. Lack of success. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about the Padres or the Chargers. You can talk about them. It's okay. It's not wrong. That won't give you success, though. Guarantee it. Won't give you success. There's nothing wrong with talking about the upcoming elections. I've talked about them a little. I've got some opinions about them. But I can guarantee talking about the elections isn't going to bring you success. You can talk about the economic outlook. Nothing wrong with that. It's very interesting. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, but you can talk about it. But I guarantee it won't bring you success. That isn't what brings success. If you want success, you're going to have to talk about God's word. It says it right there, Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Talk about it continually. But that's only number one. Read on. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, this is what prepares us to talk about it. It's thinking about it. Think about God's word. You want to be successful in life? Talk about God's word. Think about God's word. Now, you obviously won't have much to say about it unless you do a little thinking about it. So it stands to reason this has to be there. That's why God told this to Joshua next. In order for it to be in your mouth, it has to be in your head. Because what's in your head is going to come out your mouth. Unfortunately, thinking, period, has become a lost art in our day. We do a lot of daydreaming, but not always a lot of serious thinking. And folks seldom think about God's word, I find. Even a lot of professing Christians seldom think about God's word. Now, I have to admit to you, it's kind of difficult to think about it unless you first memorize it. Oh. But you see, you can think about it by sitting down and meditating on it, but there's so much else to do in our age. So many things that have to be done. And a lot of it is kind of rote things. We can just do it while we're thinking about something else. You want to think about God's word? You're going to have to memorize it. Now, that's work. It takes diligence. A lot of people say, I just can't memorize. I hear young people say that. I just can't memorize. We have a man in our church right now who is in his 80s, and he's committing whole chapters in the Bible to memory. So, you know, I don't buy that business that you know, I can't do it. I'm too young or I'm too old. It all depends on what's important to you. We memorize what we want to memorize, what's important to us. You have your telephone number memorized, don't you? Most of you know that. Have your address memorized? That's important to you. Got to find your way home after school, right? So you memorize your address, how to get there. Yeah. A lot of people have their Social Security number memorized. I haven't gotten that one yet. I'm in a little trouble with that one, but most people have it memorized. You have other important things in your life memorized because that's important to you. And when the Bible becomes important, when you realize that this is the key to success and you really believe that, then you're going to start memorizing it so you can think about it, meditate on it. When you memorize Scripture, you can mull it over in your mind. You can think through its implications for your life. You can explore how it applies to different aspects and facets of daily living and how it applies to various decisions you face in your life. There are many principles in the Scriptures that will help you make decisions, but you've got to know them first. You've got to get in there and study them and learn them and then apply them. And it will help you to memorize some of those things. Then you'll be able to think about them. The more you build God's thoughts into your brain cells, the more you think as God thinks. And that's what helps you know the right thing to do and know that it's going to turn out right. It's thinking as God thinks, you see. Thinking as God thinks is what brings success. And that means thinking about the Scripture, because that's God's word. It's His message to us. So, do you want to be successful? I would encourage you to systematically memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Let it occupy your thoughts in your idle moments, while you're sitting at a traffic light, while you're mowing the lawn, if you mow the lawn at your house, while you're walking to class, while you're washing the dishes or washing the car or whatever else you do. You can be thinking about the Word of God. And according to Joshua 1:8, that's what brings success. Meditating on the Word of God day and night. It's the key to success. But there's one more thing here. This one's the bottom line. Thinking about the Word and talking about the Word is really hypocritical if we don't obey the Word. And that's why God goes on to say to Joshua, "For then you will make your way prosperous," "so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Do. Not just think about it and talk about it, but do it. Obey it, in other words. The key thought here is obedience. Obedience. And to talk about it and think about it, but not obey it, it makes us hypocrites. And hypocrites are seldom really successful people. Oh, they may have a pseudo-success, an empty, hollow kind of success, the appearance of success, but they're not going to have any satisfaction within. Hypocrites don't. And just to talk about it and think about it without obeying it makes us hypocritical. You see, studying the Bible and discussing the Bible with your friends while you're knowingly disobeying the Bible not only makes you hypocritical, but it kind of builds a pride and a haughtiness and a haughty attitude in us that makes us kind of unbearable. And pretty soon you find your friends don't even want to be around you. They can't stand you anymore because, you know, you know all the answers. Boy, you really got it up there in your head, you know. And because you're not putting it into practice in your life, you're getting proud over your knowledge and you become unbearable and people can't stand you. And I wouldn't call that success. It's all three. Talking about it, thinking about it, and obeying it. Furthermore, if you keep taking it in, you keep studying it, and you learn all this stuff, but you don't live it out, you begin to get spiritually sluggish and flabby, and you begin to get spiritual indigestion, and you begin to feel miserable, and you can't even stand yourself. And I wouldn't call that success either. No, you've got to live it out. Don't stop talking about it. Meditate on it day and night, but do it. All that is written in it, God says, do it. Obey it. Now, I'm well aware what the world says about this. The Bible? You want to obey the Bible? You got to be kidding. I mean, that's what they say. Why, that's old-fashioned. I mean, don't you know that that book is hopelessly out of date, has no relevance to our society? Nobody can live by the Bible today. I've heard people say that. You probably have too. And you'll hear it again, I'm sure. Furthermore, they may laugh at you. They may put you down. They may even try to keep you from getting ahead. That does happen. But by God's standard, you'll be a success. Your life will count for something more than a few years on earth. It will count for eternity. If you will do what God says and obey His word. Let me give you a few illustrations of that. The world will tell you that sex is okay outside of marriage. Every time you turn around, they're telling you that. You can't turn your television set on and watch a story anymore without seeing that implied in some way. Whatever movie you go to, you're going to see that probably. In all probability, the world simply assumes that that's okay. And they want you to think that. Satan wants you to think that. And so he uses the world system to brainwash us into believing that. And a lot of kids fall right in line, just march into Satan's step. Boy, they're right in step with him. Just fall right in line. I'd like to challenge you to obey God's word. And I'd also like to suggest to you that the success of your marriage may well depend on it, because that's what the Bible says. Obey His word. Of course, after you get married, the world will tell you that if you're not getting everything you want from your marriage, the best thing to do is to bail out. I mean, why put up with it? God wants you to be happy, doesn't He? I mean, that's the thing they'll tell you. If they believe in a God, they'll say, surely He wants you to be happy. So why put up with an unhappy marriage? I mean, bail out. But let me tell you something. That isn't what God says. And jumping from partner to partner will destroy you emotionally. God wants you to work at making your relationship succeed. And He can help you if you obey Him and become the person He wants you to be. And let the Spirit of God mold your character into the very image of Jesus Christ. Your marriage will succeed when it occurs, if it occurs. God will help you make it succeed, and it will bring immeasurable satisfaction to your life. The world will tell you that you deserve to be happy. They'll tell you that. So you'll buy that. At least some will, I'm afraid. I hope not, but it's probably true that some will. And you're going to run around and you're going to try to get people to make you happy. You're going to keep manipulating them in one way or another and demanding that they meet your needs and try to make you happy. And let me tell you something, that's going to spell failure in one relationship after another if you buy that philosophy. God says we find happiness in developing a servant spirit and looking out for the happiness of others. That's what God says. He says we find happiness in obeying His word, in becoming holy, in growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's happiness. Now, I realize a lot of you don't think that right now at this point in your life, but I can tell you it's true. And people have looked for happiness in other ways and have demanded it and gone around trying to make everybody else help them be happy. They haven't found it yet. They're still looking. And they're going to look till they die. They won't find it ever like that. Obey God. You'll find happiness and enjoy success. The world says you can make yourself wealthy by cutting corners here and there and cheating a little here and there. But I can tell you about some folks who took that route, and it didn't end in happiness, I can tell you. It destroyed their lives. Listening to that kind of advice absolutely shattered their whole lives. You can see some of it on television if you keep watching the news. You see, by cutting corners dishonestly, you won't find success. You won't even find wealth, really. You're going to find, ultimately, misery and unhappiness. God says be honest in everything. I'd like to challenge you to obey Him. It will bring you true success. Now, I know the people of the world seem to prosper, doing their own thing and ignoring God, some of them. The Bible even talks about that. It talks about unbelievers who prosper. I can tell you, they may have outward prosperity, but they have no inner peace. And many of them would give everything they own. I've heard people say it. I've heard wealthy people sit in my office back there and tell me, I would give everything I own if I could find peace. Had a man say that just about 3 weeks ago. Has a lot of money. I'd give everything I own if I could find peace. You see, some of those folks are beginning to understand what true success is, even better than some professing Christians. Because peace is found in knowing you've done the right thing and knowing it's turned out as God wanted it to. That's peace. I took a day off this week and went up to Long Beach and visited that big dome where the spruce goose is. Some of you have seen the spruce goose? It was quite an amazing thing to see. And all around that huge, the exterior, that huge dome, the outer wall, I mean inside the building, along the edge, there's little theaters where you sit down for a little five-minute instruction as to what this is all about. So, you know, we went through the whole thing. We sat down, saw the first one, then we got up, just like robots, you know, and followed the crowd to the next one, sat down, followed the crowd to the next one. And the more I watched, the more appalled I became. Because this whole thing, basically, is exalting a man named Howard Hughes. And you get through watching all these things, you say, wow, you know, they think this man was almost God. They almost deify him. Because, you know, he built that big wood airplane and a few other things he did in his life. It's an amazing thing how this... It's really a memorial to Howard Hughes, is basically what I felt it was. Now, maybe you don't agree with me, but it's all right. You're welcome to your opinion. I get to tell mine out loud. You have to keep yours quiet. That's the only problem. I mean, we saw everything about Howard Hughes. I even saw his razor, believe it or not. The very razor that Howard Hughes used to shave his face. I saw it. Fantastic. All of his awards, all around. Wonderful. In one of those presentations, they told us Howard Hughes' goals in life. There are four of them. I'm going to read them to you. Number one, he wanted to be the richest man in the world. Number two, he wanted to be the best aviator in the world. Incidentally, he achieved number one. He was, in his day, the richest man in the world. He wanted to be the best aviator in the world. He achieved that goal. He probably was the best aviator of his day. Maybe one of the best of all time. Goal number three, he wanted to be the best movie director in the world. He did make some memorable movies. He also made some bombs. Nobody says he was the best movie director in the world, but he at least made some memorable movies. Fourth, he wanted to be the best golfer in the world. He never made it to the pros, but he was an excellent amateur with a handicap of one. That's pretty good golf. I'd take that any day. It beats my handicap of 45, I'll tell you. But you know, he almost achieved those four goals. Now that's an ambitious goal for a man's life, don't you think? And they were telling us how wonderful he was. And look at this. He achieved two of them and nearly achieved all four of them. What an amazing thing. Wonderful. You know, nowhere in that whole presentation did anybody tell me how he died. Nobody said that he died as a mentally imbalanced person, as a recluse, out of his mind, with no peace, totally miserable, with no hope. No, nobody said that at all. Kind of disappointing. I don't consider Howard Hughes a success. I don't know what you think, but I don't consider him a success. I don't consider a man who died like that a success. I don't care what he accomplished in his lifetime. That isn't the kind of success I want. When Joshua came to the end of his life, he could look back and say, hey, it was true. What God told me was true. It worked. I have been a success. I have done the right thing with my life, and it's turned out the way God wanted it to turn out. And it happened because I talked about God's word, and I thought about God's word, and I lived according to God's word. That's what I want to be able to say when I come to the end of my life. I hope you do too. I hope that's your goal. And the only way you're going to be able to say it is if you vow tonight, if you haven't done it before, this is the way you're going to live your life. You're going to make the Word of God the primary part of your life. You're going to build it into your very heart and soul and mind. You're going to think about it. You're going to talk about it. And you're going to obey it. And you will be a success. Now that's up to you. I hope you'll take my challenge tonight. Now in order to do that, you have to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's possible that some of you young people have gone through our youth program and still have not personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's possible that others here tonight have not yet made that decision. The Bible tells us that we are sinful. It's not an insult, it's true. It's true of every one of us. It's every bit as true of me as anyone else in this entire world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is eternal separation from God. But it also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins. And if we will acknowledge our sins and put our trust in Him, He offers us forgiveness and everlasting life. And that's where success begins. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to do that tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. With our heads bowed together, I want to give you an opportunity to make this decision tonight. In fact, we've talked about two decisions. One is to receive Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, will you do it now? It's a matter of faith. But I would encourage you to express that faith in prayer. Something like this, in the quiet of your own soul. God, I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. He died in my place. He paid the penalty I deserved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Come into my heart and save me from sin. He longs to do that. Now, are you a Christian? Do you really want to be successful, God style? Will you covenant with Him tonight that you're going to make His Word a prominent part of your life? You're going to read it and study it. You're going to think about it. You're going to talk about it. And you're going to pattern your life after it. You're going to live according to it. The promise is there. Many have accepted the challenge, kept the conditions, and enjoyed God's success. The question now is whether you will. Will you decide tonight that you will? Father, I pray that all of us will receive this challenge and obey your word. And I pray particularly for these graduates. God, thank you for them. They're at all levels of spiritual growth right now. But I pray that every one of them will keep growing, getting to know you better, becoming more like the Lord Jesus, enjoying your success. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.